Madam Chairperson, colleagues on the panel, brothers and sisters, I bring you fraternal greetings from the Oilfields Workers Trade Union of Trinidad and Tobago on the occasion of your celebration of the life and struggles of Malcolm X. The Caribbean, like the rest of the Third World, is being forced into crisis after crisis in the name of financial adjustment. United States global strategy of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund sponsored debt and military intervention are synonymous with economic and social bedlam and leaks and more leaks for the economically underprivileged, and a squeezing out of traces of life and economic satisfaction from those who already are virtually lifeless and absolutely economically unsatisfied, and unleashing more poverty on the poverty-stricken, and more starvation on the starving, and more disease and death on those already diseased and seemingly dying. The fundamental scourge of our people in the Caribbean, the root cause of our problems, is the capitalist economic base of the system that exists, as exists here in the United States of America. An economic base which separates production from ownership. The capitalist system which we have come to know, but sometimes do not fully understand, is itself going through a crisis, a new revolution of its means of production. It has to constantly expand capital at the expense of labor. It has to grow or it will die. Capitalism is like a vampire. You do not broil a steak for a vampire. You do not cook for a vampire. The vampire must suck blood in order for it to survive. Capitalism must exploit man in order for it to survive. It cannot do otherwise. That is the nature of the beast. And for capitalism to survive in this last decade of the 20th century, it is going through an upheaval such as it has not gone through since the original Industrial Revolution. And it seems that the tremendous social dislocation and political upheaval characteristic of the Industrial Revolution of 1760-1830 is being repeated today, but of course under much changed circumstances through the technological revolution which is changing the face of production. During the Industrial Revolution, which incidentally was made possible by the huge profits generated by the slave trade and slave labor, there was in Western Europe tremendous social destruction brought about by the breakup of the feudal agricultural system, the creation of landless, homeless, and indigent masses as fodder for the stomachs of the newly developed factory system. There was child labor, as my brother said, unemployment, and systematic repression. There was the birth of the trade union movement, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Haitian Revolution. There was the end of the colonial monopoly and the drive toward free trade and the abolition of slavery. The new technological revolution has been brought about through computerization, biotechnology, robotics, cybernetics, and the application of space technology. Its effects in the hands of the capitalists are the destruction of entire industries, the elimination of skills, the almost absolute dehumanization and alienation of labor, massive, chronic, and permanent unemployment, the marginalization of cities, regions, and indeed entire countries, the horrific debt crisis to which there seems no end, the loosening of traditional norms and values, the centralization and concentration of the repressive power of the state, famine, hunger, and starvation in the midst of a world where grain is burnt or stored underground, and the horrendous and growing threat of nuclear annihilation, the ultimate climax of barbarism. That is where we are today. That is the world. Today, if a slave of some 400 years ago were to turn up at the gates of General Motors or W.R. Grace, that slave is likely to feel at home, and more likely, he may very well make the comment, "You mean this shit ain't done yet?" What we are experiencing in the Caribbean are the effects of a structural realignment of international forces, the effects of a desperate attempt by a dying, decaying, and rotting monster to survive. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are mere instruments used to effect that survival. In Trinidad and Tobago, in Jamaica and Guyana, IMF conditionalities and World Bank structural adjustment have been wreaking havoc with the lives of poor blacks, the working class, and ordinary people in those communities, as is the experience of blacks and other minorities in the southern states and northern ghettos of the United States of America. In our communities, children cannot go to school because of lack of food and the unemployment of their parents. That is a reality today. Those who manage to complete primary and secondary school, some of them, are denied tertiary education, as that is made expensive and out of the reach of ordinary people. Structural adjustment dictated by the World Bank and supinely implemented by our neocolonial governments have caused riots and mini insurrections in Santo Domingo, in Venezuela, strikes and hunger marches in Trinidad and in Jamaica. Such are the conditions in Trinidad and Tobago that last July 27th, there was an attempted coup in which attempt almost all the members of the government were taken hostage. The government today is on a witch hunt, a very serious witch hunt. They have put up their stakes and they are hunting for the witches to take to those stakes. The government is demanding that organizations such like the one that I have the honor and privilege to lead should say, "We condemn the attempted coup." While the government has itself been condemning it and calling on people to condemn it, the great majority of the population of Trinidad and Tobago are condemning something else. They are condemning the failure of the people who led that coup to complete the job. In a scenario such as exists today, what then do we as political activists, what then do we as trade unionists, workers and peasants and ordinary people do in organizing the fight back against oppression and repression as Malcolm would have done in his time? What is needed is for all of us, organized labor, community organizations, all potential institutions of people's power, to hammer out a people's plan for, first of all, national salvation wherever we may live. And let us extend a hand of solidarity so that we in Trinidad and Tobago can learn from you here in the United States of America and vice versa. So that we in Trinidad and Tobago, working with Texaco or Amoco, will shut down Texaco and Amoco's operations in Trinidad and Tobago at the same time that you shut them down here in the United States of America. We must sit down and hammer out a people's plan that would base itself on the welfare of the people and not on profits. A people's plan that would utilize economic resources for development, for rational planned diversification based on indigenous resources and indigenous needs. The small, individual, and fragile economies of the Caribbean cannot, each one by itself, provide adequate sustenance for their people, except possibly with the exception of Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica, and I stand to be corrected on that. In 1958, an attempt at integrating the islands and peoples of the English-speaking Caribbean failed because it was an attempt at unity from the top, and it was essentially an arrangement that would benefit international capital, and in particular, the United States of America and Great Britain. This time on our agenda in the Caribbean, and we are actively pursuing that. This time around, unity will be forged from the bottom up. And that unity will not be limited to the English-speaking Caribbean. We see the Caribbean. We see the Caribbean involving Guyana. We see the Caribbean involving Martinique and Guadeloupe. We see the Caribbean involving Cuba, that the United States now wants to isolate. The workers of Trinidad and Tobago, like the workers of the rest of the Caribbean, like the workers in the United States of America, the workers in Eastern Europe, the workers in Western Europe, must take stock of what is happening with our lives. We must understand that there is no difference in the policies of Margaret Thatcher and George Bush. We must understand that there is no difference in the policies of Helmut Kohl and whoever else it is in France or somewhere like that. And if we internalize that, then we will be closer to understanding that there should be no difference in the approaches of workers wherever they are in the world. Let us come together and let us seek to build proletarian internationalism for the freedom of the world. Thank you very much.